holy is the Lamb of God. I tell you, He is worthy to be praised. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I serve a holy God. Amen. I tell you, the old time people will tell you, and it still means what it says today. It's kind of blunt, but it's either holiness or hell, folks. Amen. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. And holy is the Lamb of God. Amen. Amen. Good to be in Sunday school this morning. Like Brother Baggett said, I think the last time we, maybe it was Tuesday night, I don't know. Boy, I tell you, I'm getting more thankful every day I can get up and get ready and go. Whether I'm coming here, whether I'm tending to my daily duties or what. I've had about 4 or 5 phone calls just in the last couple of days saying, would you pray? Would you please pray? They sent a lady home that we are acquainted with. The hospice just going to take care of until the end comes. I got a call about a second cousin of mine. Got a brain tumor, having seizures. And just a lot of stuff. I'm glad that God has afforded me the opportunity to come to His house and to love Him while I've got a chance. The day may come that I might be in that position, and I would want a church praying for me. But I tell you what, I'm so thankful for the blessings of the Lord this morning. This morning we want to go to the Lord quickly with a scripture found in the 22nd chapter of Luke. And if you think you've heard this message before, you have. You heard most of it Tuesday night, I think, when Brother Baggett taught us Forever Changed. It's uncanny how he gets my sermons and my lessons. I thought about the king of Syria said, I don't know what's going on. Somebody's telling somebody about my every move. Somebody's telling Brother Baggett in the privacy of my home what I'm studying. So we're going to get a double dose. Amen. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I tell you, Satan wanted to crush Peter like a grain of wheat. He hoped to find nothing but chaff and blow it away when he finished with Peter. But I tell you, Jesus assured Peter that his faith, although it might falter, it would not be destroyed. And I tell you, he would be renewed, and Peter would become a powerful leader of the church. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We'll continue to read. Verse 32, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Now Jesus, he predicted that Judas would betray him, and he told what the fate of that traitor would be. And Jesus also predicted Peter would deny him. But later he would repent and lead his fellow disciples to strengthen them and lead his fellow brethren. And if you think about it, betraying and denying, one is about as bad as the other. But the difference is the two men had entirely different fates. Why? Because one of them repented. And this morning, I know it may sound rather cliche, but I've titled it the gospel of another chance. I've heard people talk about the gospel of a second chance, and I fully understand what they talk about. I'm telling you, my God goes beyond just a second chance. If he didn't, the nation of Israel would have been done long time ago. Old Steve Valentine would have been done in a long time ago. I'm thankful that I serve a God of another chance, and another chance, and another chance. Amen. Verse 34, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. If you read some of the scriptures ahead of what we just read, the crucifixion of Jesus was imminent. And the next few hours was going to see some very dramatic changes for the ones who were following him and who had walked with him for 3.5 years. But what consumed them at the moment is not the gravity of the situation, seems like, but they wanted to know who's going to be the greatest in your kingdom. Peter was trying to establish his position as the greatest by pledging loyalty, maybe to a little further extent than the rest of the disciples. Lord, I'll go to prison with you. I will die with you. And verse 24, if we back up, said there was strife among them about who should be the greatest. Verse 24, and there was also a strife among them which of them should be accounted the greatest. I tell you, the world's greatest event was just about to happen, and they were still arguing about who was going to be greatest in the kingdom of God. Now, Peter, if you look at Peter, he kind of had his merits, because it was Peter that said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it was also Peter's house where Jesus would stay when he was in town. And when they would go to Capernaum, they would stay at Peter's mother-in-law. You know the story how Peter's mother-in-law was healed. Peter was one of the greatest fishing stories ever told. And the results of that were so powerful that he forsook everything and he began to follow Christ. And I've heard some pretty good fishing stories. I've heard some that I doubted. But I tell you, this one was real. And when old Peter realized what was going on, he was ready to throw down the net, get rid of the boat, and follow Christ. Peter took part in the walking on the water. And I tell you, I just can't fathom that sort of thing. You know, I've been on the lake before, and the waters was a rolling and wind was a blowing. And probably the last time I was with Brother Ken. And I don't know if he remembers that. We was way on the other side, and I mean, we bam, bam, you know. And I said, you know, it'd be good. Just get out of this boat and just walk back. But anyway, Peter was part of the inner circle. Peter witnessed the Mount of Transfiguration. So Peter, he kind of had an argument. But Satan, Jesus said to him, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Peter still didn't really have a clue as to what the next few hours was going to bring because of his response. I will go to prison and I will die for you. I don't think he really realized just what it was going to be like. And in his zeal, he said those words. But I tell you, the very Son of God spoke into Peter's future. And said, the time is coming, Peter, that the enemy of your soul wants to sift you as wheat. I don't want nothing but trash left. When Satan gets through with you, he don't want anything but trash left. Amen. And if you know anything about the threshing process, they did it a couple of ways back then. They would take animals and they would tread on the grain. And basically what they were doing is they were breaking the husk from the kernel. And then they would throw the chaff in the air, the wind would take it away, the kernels would fall to the floor. Another way, they would beat it with rods. But Satan wanted to take Peter and literally crush him. Amen. And I tell you, if you're following the Lord today, if you've got a walk with the Lord, I promise you, you're on his hit list. Amen. It's not just Peter that he's after. He's after every one of us. He wants to sift every one of us as wheat and crush us. But John 10:10, this is the mission of Satan. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm telling you, Satan wants to steal what you got. He wants to kill you and he wants to destroy you. And I've probably told you before, that word destroy in the original text means to grind to a fine powder. He wants to put you in a position where nobody can put you back together. I mean, he wants to literally steal, kill, and grind you to a fine powder where there is no hope for you. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus said, I am come that you have life and that you have it more abundantly. Satan knows where he's headed. And he's wanting to take you and to take me with him. Amen. That's his mission. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I come to give you abundant life. And I tell you, the life that Jesus Christ lives, it's not only eternal. It's not only eternal life. But I tell you, it begins immediately. Your abundant life is not after the rapture of the church. Your abundant life is also while you walk on this earth. Amen. And we can enjoy an abundant life today. Why? Because of his overflowing forgiveness and his love and his grace. Amen. Jesus had told Peter when he first encountered him to follow me and I will make you fishers of men. How many know the word of the Lord is yea and amen? When the Lord says it, that settles it. I believe it. Amen. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. Listen to what it says. Paul was writing to the Philippian church. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is confidence in the fact that if I tell you, I'm going to do it. And if it includes me, I want to be a part of it. I want to do my part so that the good work he starts in me, he can finish it. Amen. I think about, if you read Acts chapter 27 and 28, you read about Paul and being a prisoner on a ship and the shipwreck and everything they went through. That was a terrible time. But Paul had the unction to go to Rome. The Holy Ghost had prompted him that he would go to Rome. He would spread the gospel in Rome and before kings and potentates and the poor, everybody. Well, here he is on this ship, about to be shipwrecked, and you know the whole story, and how they landed on an island, and the barbarians were kind to them. But I tell you, at some point in time, Paul stood in Rome. I'm telling you, folks, your journey don't necessarily dictate what the end is going to be. It may be a terrible journey. You might be shipwrecked. You may not can swim and have to float a little while on just a piece of the ship. You might get snake bit. You may not have food to eat. But I'm telling you, if God says I'm going to perform a work in you, if you will let him and stay with him, it will come to pass. And that's what he promised Peter. Amen. So that Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. I don't know, maybe we need to underline that in our Bible. I tell you, in the midst of your most severe trial, you need to stand on that promise. The Lord will perform that which he started, and it will be a good work. I tell you, God's work for us, there's a lot of difference between the word for and the word in. God's work for us began when he died on the cross to forgive us of our sins. But Christ's work in us began when we first believed. I don't care who you are. If you're the rankest sinner on the face of this earth, God did a work for you when he died for your sins. But I tell you, the work in us began when I believed and I professed him. He filled me with the Holy Ghost and I was baptized in his name. Now the work has begun in me. Amen. Amen. And when you're discouraged, you might feel incomplete or stressed out because of your shortcomings. Just like Peter, just remember God's promises and his provisions. I'm telling you, his word is yea and amen. Amen. Don't let your present condition rob you of the joy of knowing Christ or keeping you from growing close to him. Amen. Jesus saw the future and tried to give Peter a warning, but Peter's mind just could not comprehend what was coming his way. And I tell you, the master said, I'm going to finish what I started. Hey, you can judge me now. You can count me out. I'm not a finished product yet. But Jesus told me what he would do if I'd stay with him. Amen. Luke chapter 22, verse 31, our text again. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But he said, I prayed for you, faith fail not. When you're converted, strengthen your brethren. I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death, he said. Oh, I tell you, Peter, the cock's not going to crow till you deny me three times this very night that you even know me. I tell you, Peter, after having boasted of all that he was and what he had experienced with Jesus, that in his mind probably qualified him as the greatest, he had no idea of the trial that was before him. But I tell you, verse 32 says, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. That word converted, I looked that up. It means in the original text, when you are returned to me. Isn't that wonderful? When you are returned to me, Peter, strengthen the brethren. You're going to get a chance to come back, Peter. And when you do, you strengthen the brethren. I tell you, the Lord can take an attack of Satan and the enemy, and he can turn it into one of the greatest victories in your life. If you don't believe that, you need to read the story of Joseph. Amen. You know the whole story about Joseph. Listen to what the psalmist wrote in Psalms 105, verse 18 and 19. Sometimes there's a waiting period. Sometimes there's something we have to go through. Sometimes our heart fails us. Sometimes our intentions are good and they fail us. Psalms 105, verse 18, talking about Joseph, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. Verse 19, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Don't you know sometimes old Joseph was ready to throw in the towel? After all he had been through and had been promoted to a position in the palace, and first thing you know, he finds himself back in the dungeon, you know, and Lord, it's just not worth it. But I tell you what, he believed the word of God. Amen. I tell you, sometimes people want to talk about the greatness of God, but I tell you, sometimes I feel like we have nothing to say about the greatness of God until we've gone through something. And that's a lot of the reason sometimes I think God allows us to go through things. There's other people going through the same thing, but you are a vessel that can strengthen the brethren since you've returned to him. I've been in the same position as a lot of people that have called me and wanted, hey, I tell you, let me tell you what the Lord did for me. Let me strengthen you. Amen. We need to lean on that word. Luke chapter 22, verse 54. Let's kind of go with Peter as he feels the attack of Satan on his life. Verse 54, then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. Can't you just see old Peter, that little maid, sitting there looking at him? You know what? I bet old Peter was probably trying to. You reckon? And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. I recognize him. I recognize his accent. He is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. That was the third time. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I tell you, Peter was touched. Peter weeping because God was chastising him. Peter looked into the eyes of compassion. He looked into eyes that were telling him, Peter, I know what you're going through, but I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. Surely Peter remembered those words. I tell you, I do believe Peter loved the Lord. I honestly do. I tell you, I thought it's kind of like a bad musician loving music. You're looking at one. Can't hardly play a radio without static, but I love music. And I suppose I could probably learn to play an instrument if I'd put my mind to it. So I can sympathize with Peter just a little bit. I do believe he loved the Lord. But Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter was in the very middle of that sifting process, and the enemy was showing him his failures and his shortcomings. Anybody ever been there? Have you ever been to that point? I have. Amen. Thought you were strong in the Lord, but stumble and fail. Sure, I've been there. I tell you, my own desires, whether it was like Peter, whether it was for self-preservation, or whether it was just appeasing my own flesh, I have succumbed to the enemy of my soul before. I'm not ashamed to tell you that. But I tell you, when the enemy starts talking to you about your past, you need to remind him of his future. Amen. His doom is sealed. Amen. But I'm sure Peter was thinking, how could I have been so weak? I said I didn't even know him. If we fail, we got to recognize it, y'all. And we have to remember Christ can still use those who recognize their failure, just as he did Peter. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Verse 33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. I tell you, the enemy had Peter where he wanted him. Condemnation, embarrassment, lying, no loyalty. But I tell you, if Peter just could have remembered during this attack by Satan the words of Jesus Christ, but I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And I tell you, when I know Jesus Christ is praying for me, I feel confident. Amen. I got confidence in the prayer of everybody sitting in this room right now. And I tell you, I know I have confidence in Jesus Christ. I tell you, if I was going to give a prayer request, I'd like to give it to Jesus. And the Word says He does make intercession for us. Listen to this. That's why we can make it today as Christians. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. 1 John 2 and 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, the righteous. To anybody feeling guilty and condemned, John is offering reassurance while he's writing this. And when you feel this way, don't give up hope. I'm telling you, the best defense attorney in the whole wide world in the universe is at your beck and call. Amen. He's there to plead your case. And I tell you, Jesus Christ is your advocate. He is the righteous judge, the Word said. Amen. I'm glad I'm going before a righteous judge. And but why? Because he's already suffered your penalty. In your place, he already been to the cross. He's already shed his blood. I tell you, you can't be tried for something that's already been settled. A crime that's already been committed, you can't be tried for it again. I'm telling you, one that's already been on the docket and been through the system, it can't be tried again. So if you're reunited with Jesus Christ, I tell you, you are safe as he is. Don't be afraid to ask Jesus Christ to plead your case. You know, we're pretty quick, and it's okay. You know, I have a prayer request. Would you help me pray? Would you help me pray? I tell you what, there's nothing wrong with getting on your knees and saying, Lord Jesus, I want you to pray for me. I need you to plead my case. I need you to intercede for me. Amen. So if we have sinned, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The story of Peter doesn't end here, but listen to what an angel at the tomb said when he delivered a message from Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 14, verse 5. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. Verse 6, and he said unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Verse 7, but go your way, tell his disciples, and who? And Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee, there ye shall see him, as he said unto you. It's one of the most interesting places I ever visited in Israel was the tomb of Jesus Christ. It was in the garden, and it is considered the actual tomb or a Class A site of where Jesus was buried. And they determined a lot of that because of this scripture in Mark chapter 5. The Bible says when he entered into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And when we walked into that tomb, on the right-hand side is the slab that's hewn out of solid rock where the body would be laid. There was not another bed carved out of the solid rock. A lot of the tombs, the way they were made for a family. And as they died, they would carve out others. But the Bible says he was put in a tomb where no man ever laid. And when we walked in there, it was to the right. And in my mind's eye, I could just see the angel sitting there, you know, just, what are y'all looking in here for? You're looking for Jesus Christ of Nazareth? He's risen. He's not here. And I tell you, myself and four other guys, my brother and three other guys went into that tomb. And it's rather small. It's probably not much bigger than this right here. But my brother began to pray. And all of a sudden, I heard him holler, he's not here. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost fell in that tomb. And we like to hurt one another getting out of there. Five big old boys trying to get out of that little narrow hole right there that was the entrance to that thing. I tell you, the word of God is yea and amen. What he told Peter and what happened to him on that day, it came to pass. His word is yea and amen. But go your way, tell the disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he said unto you. I tell you, the gospel of another chance was being forwarded to Peter. And I think maybe it come to his mind what David said in Psalms chapter 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell into the house of the Lord forever. And I'm not convinced totally that the house of the Lord simply means church. I tell you, he was saying, I'm going to dwell with him forever. I don't care where he is. I don't care where his house is, but I do know that goodness and mercy is following me. Had Peter been close enough to the cross, he probably could have heard and seen a thief receive the gospel of another chance. John chapter 21, verse 1, and after these things, Jesus shewed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise shewed he himself. There were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. I tell you, we're nothing without Jesus Christ. And I can kind of sympathize with Peter. You know, the Lord's gone. I'm going back to do just the only thing I know to do. I'm going fishing. You know, a lot of people like to fish to relax. A lot of people do it for a living. But I tell you, Peter, he went back to the thing that he knew to do. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Early in the morning, day just breaking, probably. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked and did cast himself into the sea. Don't read into that scripture something that's not. They didn't fish in the nude. He was girded up. They had what they call a fisherman's tunic on, and they would take it off to free themselves up to fish. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, which is about 100 yards, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said to them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus shewed himself to the disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And that word lovest in the original text is the word agape. And like Brother Baggett brought out so well the other night, surely he was looking around and saying, do you love me more than this, Simon? You know what agape love is. I don't need to explain that to you. Simon Peter, do you love me and the mission that I have for you? Do you want the highest for myself, for you, and for everything around you more than these? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And Peter was using the word phileo, which is brotherly love. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And when he said it the third time, Jesus Christ used the word phileo, brotherly love. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And the third time, Peter used the word agape. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Do you notice when Peter was saying, Lord, you know I love you, he was not adding on anything like he did back in the garden. I will go to prison with you. You know I love you. I love you. You know that I would die with you. I think old Peter figured out real quick, Lord, you just know I love you. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Lord, you know I love you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girded. He's telling Peter what's fixing to happen, whether he knows it or not. When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. And we all know the story of Peter. Peter was crucified upside down. He did not want to be crucified right side up like his Savior. He said he wasn't worthy. I tell you, Peter's first miracle was a large catch of fish. And his last miracle was a large catch of fish. Let's take a look at Peter after the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost fell on the 120. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Peter realized he just became a fisher of men. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul. That's talking about reverent fear. That's not talking about scared. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I can just imagine what little bit I've read about the Holy Ghost falling on the day of Pentecost and baptizing 3,000 people. It'd take you a while to baptize 3,000 people right there. And the best explanation that I could find, there are pools with steps going in and steps coming out around the temple area in that day that were called mikvahs. And it was part of the cleansing or the process they would go through to go into the temple to do their sacrifice and to do. They had to be clean. You had to go through a ritual or ceremony to be clean. And it is very possible that all the mikvahs that were there that the people were walking down into and dunking into the mitzvah and coming back up to be baptized. I know you have to think about what Peter was saying about repent and being baptized in Jesus' name and being identified with him to all the people who just not many days prior were hollering, crucify, crucify. Now he's telling them, you be identified with him. You be a part. You're the ones that crucified him. I tell you, that was a big step. Whether you realize it or not, and I don't think they really wanted to draw a lot of attention to themselves, so 3,000 people probably didn't want to start walking in mass over to the Jordan River, which was not too far away, to be baptized. So I believe they baptized them in those mikvahs right there, 3,000 souls. And I can just imagine John looking at Peter, a fisher of men, and the catch that they had, and saying, Peter, it's the Lord. It's nothing but the Lord. What has happened here today. I tell you what, Peter became a fisher of men because the gospel of another chance. And I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to encourage myself. I don't care what's happened. I don't care what you're going through. You can be a fisher of men because of the gospel of another chance. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't decide, well, I've gone too far. I've denied him. My loyalty is no longer there. You can become a fisher of men. And as I said before, Peter was crucified upside down. He wasn't worthy to die as his Lord. And I ask you today, what does the resurrection of Christ mean to you today? And as goodness and mercy follow us, if we need a fresh encounter with God, we need to get before him and we need to get a hold of him. Amen. Because he is the God of another chance. It is the gospel of another chance. Because he wants us to be what he told us he wanted us to be. Amen. He wants us to be fishers of men. Amen. His word, I said, is yea and amen. He has something for every one of us to do. It may be not like John. You know, you think about Peter being the old rough fisherman that he was. You think about John. And if you read John's writings in his book and in Revelation, I tell you, John had a way with words. John's intellect was up there pretty good. You may not be a Paul. You may not be called to travel all over the known world spreading the gospel. You may just be a poor old dumb fisherman. But I tell you what, we can be a fisher of men. God can use us if we will just forget about our past, forget about what we've done, and forget about denying him or not having the loyalty we think we ought to have. We can become a victim of the gospel of another chance. Amen. Aren't you glad God afforded us another chance? Everybody sitting in this room, beyond a shadow of a doubt, has fallen short in our walk with God. But I tell you, he is faithful to forgive us. Amen. I love him this morning. Thank you for your kind attention. We'll go to our break right quick and come back for our morning worship service. God bless you this morning.